Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow.
Well, welcome everybody to the Duluth Rundown, episode number 92, and roughly our 7th year anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing, huh?
How you doing, Mike?
Yeah, really good.
Good.
Super excited about the continuation of this here podcast.
Absolutely.
It is pretty exciting.
How's your training going? You're looking lean right now.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Putting in some miles?
Yeah, actually, we were just kind of talking off air, and actually last month, I told myself, do not let Tony leave without having him review your training program.
Okay.
And so do not leave before you review. It's going good. I'm executing the plan. Uh-huh. I had a plan in place, and I'm executing it almost perfectly, which is good.
Yeah.
But maybe the results or the some of the benchmarks, you know, that I would look for aren't quite what I was thinking. So now I'm second-guessing everything. Oh. I'm second-guessing everything.
Everything.
Like, should I even run at all
anymore? Yeah, no, definitely hang it up.
stamp collecting is a fun hobby.
I did that when I was in, like, fifth grade.
So, yeah, thank you. It's going good overall.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, should we hop right into race? Oh, how are you doing, Tony? Thanks for asking.
Good.
How are you doing?
Yeah. I'm good. You know what? My training is absolutely garbage right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, I think it's Newton's first law of motion. A body at rest tends to stay at rest. That's me. And body in motion tends to stay in motion or wants to stay in motion. I'm the rest right now. The body at rest stays at rest.
Yeah.
I don't know. I lose momentum sometimes, and I've lost momentum for whatever reason.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. It's frustrating. It's like something happens. Either you get sick or you travel or you have like back-to-back just crazy days and you don't have any time, and then all of a sudden you just have lost momentum there, and it's hard to get it back sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
It is, but I think that's almost good to kind of lean into that. Like, I feel like you know, you get way more excited if you almost like deliberately just like, I don't have to get back on the motion train, you know, like it's okay. And then like, at least for me, oftentimes I'm just like, I have to get back out there, you know?
Well, this week it will happen. I'm getting back for sure this week. It's a must do. So
there is the two sides, you know, you feel like you have to, cause you're like pent up energy or something, or you just make yourself do it. And like Newton.
You know? Absolutely. I don't even care what the reason are. I just want to get back at it, whether I'm self-flagellation or if guilt or whatever, it's going to happen. So,
I mean, you can like harness guilt to
totally
do whatever you need.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I mean, then that's the time of the year to do it too. You know, it's kind of like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the spring, you know. And
that's another thing, too. Yeah. I've actually been exceedingly grumpy lately because this weather is just so awful.
Yeah.
So tired of April, March and April in Duluth. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
It gets pretty tough.
But yeah.
We're getting through it bit by bit. And we, you know, a sign of spring here, Tony's. We got some race results coming
true.
In. So let's give them a rip. Actually, they're both from yesterday, the race results that we have. Last month, just reviewing, we had one race that was coming up from last month. It was Ficker's 5K, and it was, at least for the men's side, the second fastest time in race history. Mm-hmm. Ben Vasky took the win with 15:10, and pretty dramatic photo, I would say, on the newspaper with a four-time reigning champ, Scott Bayling, local guy, just a shoulder or two behind him. ouch, with a 15-12, which that 15-12 of Ben's was one of the faster times. Like, I had to look, like, that seems so fast.
Yeah.
You know, and he had won in, you know, some of the past years with, like, just under 16 and, mm-hmm. you know, 15 in the middle. So, like, he was probably working really, really hard to keep that streak alive. And
so, man. You were there.
Yeah.
You were racing. Tell me about the course. Was the course feel fast?
I loved the course.
Yeah.
I thought it was fast. So, and this might be for, you know, people who have run Grandma's Marathon before or know the area, you can probably visualize, you know, so it starts on Superior Street right at Fickers. Mm-hmm. And just like the old course, you start going down Superior Street, which I love.
Yeah.
And I kind of forget every year that that's like a downhill.
Yeah.
It's definitely a downhill. Mm-hmm. And so first mile fast, but we had a stiff headwind,
right?
Like from the west.
Yeah.
Turn onto Lake Avenue. And then that was a little tough too, because then we're going essentially like backwards on the grandma's course by the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We went like under the...
The overpass.
The overpass, yep. And so that was, I felt like, the hardest part of the whole course, because like you're in a big pack, you're kind of grouped together. It's like downhill and then almost a 180 degree turn.
Yeah.
There was ice there.
Okay.
So like a puddle that had like frozen overnight.
Yeah.
So like that, like it just, you could easily avoid it, but with like a bunch of other people sprinting Mach 5.
Yeah.
And it was like some gravel down. Okay. So it's like it took me off guard. I was like, I'm wearing these like super shoes. I feel like a baby deer, you know? Like I can't.
Yeah.
So
tall stack height. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But then it was just like some really flat and fast mm-hmm. running, like not a lot of sharp curves, not a lot of curves at all, not a lot of hills or mm-hmm. any punchy anything. Once we got about to halfway or maybe closer to mile two, it switched to a tailwind, you know, because mm-hmm. we're kind of heading back. But then the last mile was certainly challenging.
Yeah.
Go up to Gichio de Aking Park. Mm-hmm. So that's like an uphill.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize until I'm running it, like Superior Street going back up, it's an uphill. It's
uphill.
Mm-hmm. It's like your last little bit of the 5K.
Yeah.
Ugh. So that was hard.
It's similar to what Fickers was 15 years ago.
I agree. Yeah. Which I love it. I mean, the course has changed so much. I'm really hoping and I'm hopeful that this is going to be kind of like the course from here on out.
Yeah, I agree. This feels more like a little proper race course.
I agree.
Yeah.
I thought it was long.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
that's good. It should be.
It should be.
It's supposed to be. So,
it's supposed to be. My watch said, you know, 3.17, I think. So,
okay. Yeah.
And I don't know, that helps me feel better about my time, but yeah. So yeah, it was good. A challenging day, I think. It was cold, but the wind was, I believe, a factor.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
But still, some fast times. Yeah. So times don't lie. I mean, Scott, exactly. For instance.
That's why I asked, because it's cool to see those fast times. And
yeah,
I would say, you know, hopefully the course helped a little bit with that as well.
Yeah, and we announced the top two men for women. The top two. Two 14-year-olds, Violet Sigsworth, 1927, and then Lillian Nelson, also 14 years old, 1949. So three sub-20 performances on the gal side. And then non-binary, Ren Hoverson ran 30 minutes and 19 seconds. Total, we had 1,156 finishers. So yeah. Fun times down at... the Fickers 5K, the old Rust Buster. Also found results for the NCT Races Bird Sanctuary. This is pretty close. This is in Solon Springs, mm-hmm. Wisconsin. 20K and 10K race distances on trail. First place in the 20K, Kevin Mack. And then first place on the gal side, sixth overall, was Shannon Hogan. Shannon being a previous Duluth Rundown interview guest subject. And then at the 10K distance, we had the winner was Matt Mausel. And then second overall, first female, Jessica Graveson from Chittek. So, Yeah, let's see. We had 47 finishers in the 20K, 41 in the 10K out in Solon Springs. From an upcoming race standpoint, we got another 5K, good early season Rust Buster in Hibbing, Minnesota. So Saturday, April 25th is the Victory 5K in Hibbing. Our registration appears to be open still, and this is a USATF sanctioned event as well. So that's what you're into. Check that out. And then finally, on the upcoming race circuit, we have a full slate of NMTC Spring Trail Race Series races coming up, which I am exceptionally excited for. If you've done NMTC in the past, I would strongly recommend going to the nmtc.run website, because the whole series has changed here. Bear Creek is still, as it has been the last couple years, the first race of the series. That's coming up on Wednesday, April 29th at 6 p.m. And then just this race series are kind of all jumbled around. They're not the same. Mm-hmm. Chester is not the final race anymore. I mean, you will announce these, but just go on the website, check it out. Wabash, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this. The Martin Trail,
Wabash Heshikana, I think.
Wabash Heshikana. Wow, yeah, you can pronounce it way better than me. Sorry. Yeah. That's the second race, May 6th. Then Spirit Mountain, the women's 10-miler. I heard that the course changed with that again.
Okay.
And Point Pine, May 13th. Woodland, May 20th. There's a rain date in there. And then the finale, June 3rd at the Cloquet Forestry Center. So
nice. I
have a unique, different, novel slate of Spring Trail Race Series coming right around the corner. Next on the rundown here, we have our trails report. Last I saw, Tony, they are officially closed.
Yeah. Driving by, I've seen a lot of ropes up. I did see in Leicester, the Duluth Traverse, right after the bridge there at the Leicester Park parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
That rope was not up, and I did see people hiking on it.
No,
that section was bone dry that you can literally see, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Farther up, I assume it's still probably snow-covered, and I don't know how, if people should have been on there or not, or because sometimes people pull down the ropes.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that may have been the case, but I have seen people hiking on it in this past week. I just don't, I doubt it's open. I haven't looked officially.
Yeah. 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 I guess I haven't either, but I mean, it's just that time of the year where it's kind of like, I just would stay off.
Yeah.
I mean, I got half a mind to check out Chester today, 'cause it's just so dry. Like my yard is just bone dry,
you know,
like there's no way it's not dry in the trail.
Yeah. I think the sections that are snow free probably are okay.
Right.
But there's still sections that, north-facing things that are in the shade or whatnot, they're going to have less snow on them. The gravel roads are actually really good.
Yeah.
I biked on them recently. And
Certainly.
Yeah. They're pretty good. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when in doubt, if you really need your trail fix, you can go to the City of Duluth website. It's my primary resource. COGS, Cyclists of Gitche-Gumee Shores, is a great resource as well, and the Superior Hike and Trail Association website. However, I did get some intel actually from Shannon, who was at the NCT, and it sounds like, you know, Northern Wisconsin North Country Trail sections are in premium shape right now.
Cool.
So,
nice.
Yeah, she said it was great conditions for the race yesterday.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah, I wanted some feedback from her. Yeah, so if you got to get your trail fixed, that might be the best answer. Just go south a little bit. So
yeah, perfect.
Yeah. Moving right along to Coach's Corner, what do you got this week for the people, Tony?
So I was thinking about this, particularly from my training group's standpoint, but this is going to apply to just about anyone training for grandmas right now. This is a time of the year where accumulation really starts to set in of all the miles and all the running. The weeks are stacking up. I don't know where, I think we're on like week 13 or 14 of our training. Yeah, fatigue sets in, right? I think a lot of people are probably feeling that. And my thought is there's a couple of things. One, try to stay positive, you know, if that fatigue is kind of got you down a little bit mentally, because that happens just emotionally and mentally. You can feel I don't know, defeated to some extent, or just, well, I'm so, it's hard. But don't be afraid to take a day off or reduce some mileage on your plan. I tell my training plan or my training group people all the time that the numbers on the plan, don't worry about them. They don't mean a whole lot, really. And so it's okay if you reduce, if it's 6 mile a day and you reduce it to four, that's absolutely fine. You reduce it to three or two. That's totally fine. But you know, mainly just to kind of stay the course, and in terms of like keeping at it, taking a day off when you need to, but then keeping at it, and the fatigue will go away. For us in our training group too, we're starting our hill phase. That was last week, was our first week of our hill phase, and that is it's a hard week, that first week, because we're doing repeats on seven bridges. We're doing a hilly course on Saturday for our long run. And our bodies it's a little bit of a shock to them.
Yeah.
But by the end of hill phase, the strength shows, and what was really demanding no longer becomes demanding after just three, four weeks of hills.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool to see that happen. So know that if you're feeling that way, feeling that fatigue, you won't be if you stay with it.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm fatigued mainly mentally. Mm-hmm. Like that's what's dragging on me, is like, oh, this isn't going to end anytime soon, is it? You know?
Yeah.
And especially, like, I would say the long run has been the challenge for me. And it's like so all over the board for me, like mentally. Like, I love the long run. Like, I look forward to it every week sometime. Yeah. But then, like, lately it's been like stressful, you know? It's like, oh, it's so hard, and I got to like prep for it and get my fuel and get everything. And then like the whole rest of the day, I've been feeling just like, I can't do anything, you know? And so then, like, it's coming up this next week, like, there's my long run again, like, almost like anxiety, like, can I just take this one off? Like, no, I can't. It's like the key run of the whole week, of the whole program.
Yeah.
So, like, what advice would you have for people like me, just kind of, like, body's holding up, luckily, you know, knock on wood, but mentally, oh, boy, it's hard to stay the course sometimes.
One thing I do tell people when that is happening, with it's a motivation, just the mental burnout, is try to change up the course, change it, go do a new route, you know, drive to something if you can, I think is an option that we don't always think about, but I think that can be helpful, you know, go up the shore or something, and I don't know, maybe the trails aren't open, but find some gravel roads or something like that. I don't know. Could just go do something slightly new. Mm. Could be kind of just mentally kind of keep you in the game a little bit more.
That is very relevant to me, as I've been just pounding the lake walk.
Yeah.
Miles and miles and miles.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, the lake walk is there, and we use it a lot, and it's a beautiful thing that we have, but it can be monotonous after a while too.
Yeah. Next segment, gear review. I got a gear review for shoes. So
nice.
As I've been putting on the miles, and actually it was like a little like present to myself. If I can get through my first phase of training leading into Fickers 5K, I can buy some super shoes.
Cool.
And it was actually a really fun process. You know, I didn't do a lot of like research. I don't exactly know like what makes a shoe faster. And so my joke that I've said is like, my plan was to go into Austin Jaro's, say, give me your most expensive, therefore fastest super shoe, and then walk out the door with whatever they give me.
Totally.
Which I didn't do, to be clear. But what I did do is I tried on, and I have kind of an obscure shoe size at this point. I think it's the 100 milers, but 12 and a half I found is hard to source sometimes locally and like get that shoe size where I can try on a bunch. Austin Jaro had like six different super shoes in my exact size, which was so awesome.
Yeah.
Then I could just try on all these different types. So I tried on two different Nikes, two different Asics, a Brooks, and then the one that I ended up going with is a Saucony, Saucony Endorphin Elite 2. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being kind of the most marshmallowy.
Yeah.
which I wasn't necessarily looking for marshmallowy. Actually, that kind of that feel of like the Hoka poofy marshmallow mm-hmm. hasn't done well for me in the past, but they just felt the best. So that's the one I went with and gave them a rip at Fickers and they definitely feel fast. Yeah, it feels different. So
have you done any training runs in them?
No.
Just the race, that's it?
Yeah,
that's the one race.
Which was, I was kind of nervous about it.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
And Jaro was kind of funny when I was waiting in line to get checked out. Jaro said, "These one like the Sauconies, like these are like the flimsiest of them all. Like don't run on gravel. Uh-huh. Like well, okay, like I wasn't planning on it. Like, they're a lot of money. Yeah, you know? Like I wasn't planning on it. Like." He said, "You can like pick them apart with your hands, you know." Like, well, don't pick them apart with your hands. Like, I want the shoes. Don't treat them nice. I don't know. So he kind of got in my head a little bit there. Like, yeah, these are special, like only for this purpose. Yeah. But he said, like 3 weeks from race day, grandma's that is do a 20-miler in them.
Yeah,
because it alters your gait slightly.
Yeah,
apparently. So, which I don't feel that way when I'm running in them. Mm-hmm. When you're walking, they're like, oh, this is goofy.
Yes.
But once you get up to speed, I feel like they don't feel any different or whatever. So we'll see after a 20-miler, I guess. But so far so good. And I'm curious to see if for a marathon distance, if it's going to make an impact on my time.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the point, I guess. Cheater shoes, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Free speed. Next segment here is the route of the week. I wanted to highlight a really fun running route that I've enjoyed this time of year, Fox Farm Road.
Yeah.
And again, just kind of getting sometimes tired of the Lake Walk and looking for something a little softer. Fox Farm has been my oasis.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Fox Farm is nice. 10 miles one direction if you include the section that's called App Road, but it's essentially the same road.
Yeah.
10 miles one way. So you can do a 20-miler, 100% on gravel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's beautiful, like every step of the way. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done two long runs out there, a 22 actually, and a 20-miler.
Mm-hmm.
The 22 is a little about out and back just for fuel purposes. But on the first one, I saw an owl.
Cool.
Which is cool. Swoop down. Mm-hmm. And then there was a blue jay that was squawking at it and chasing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that type of wildlife is really fun.
Yeah.
There's almost no car traffic out there, which is
nice.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been really, really fun. And I think just gravel roads in general are a good little switch up.
I remember taking Bones and Milton out to Fox Farm years ago for a training run, and they loved it. And they're like, this is a lot like Kenya.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
They reminded them of being back home because I'd be like in the van in front of them and hand them water or whatnot while they were out just some rural gravel road somewhere.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. They had a good time with it.
It's fun. Yeah. It's a little bit of a drive. Yeah. You know, 20, 30 minutes depending on where you're at, but man, it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see. Last piece of the rundown section here that I had, just a couple shout outs, and I already kind of shouted them out, but to my good running friends that I run with at the Hoops Running Club, now the Hoops Running Club at Blacklist Brewery, the long name, Thursdays at 6 p.m.
Nice.
Kevin Mack and Shannon Hogan, run with them pretty much every Thursday, and they took the win each at the NCT races, the Bird Sanctuary 20K. So really proud of them for going 1-1.
And it's a good training group, sounds like.
It really is. So
That's awesome.
So, yep, wanted a shout out for them. And I think that really wraps up our episode 92 here, Tony. Anything else you wanted to highlight there?
I don't think so.
We should get right on to our interview then.
All right.